Radio.
I can't believe that Netflix are actually considering using ads.
I know, right? We're going to talk about that.
It must be very a cheap package then.
It should be free.
It should be free.
It's ads.
Basically free, yeah.
If I have to watch a Colgate ad every time before I watch an episode of a series, you best believe it better be free.
I was on YouTube last night and every single time I skipped, there would be two ads playing, I couldn't skip those ads.
It's a marketing strategy, I'm telling you, because even on Spotify, I would go jogging, and I'd be like, okay, here's an ad, and I'd be like, that's weird, two ads in a row, and then I'd be like, three ads, I'm like, this is just to make me think, oh, there's a bug here.
Yeah.
If I purchase
it's
the premium.
It's so annoying, man.
It's very clever
and
on
they,
their part.
But same with Spotify, they force these ads down our throats so that we give in and sign up for premium. And then we actually sign up.
So should we start off today with the great Elon? And what is he up to at the
yes.
moment?
Yes, I just want to say big thanks to everybody for all the birthday messages so far. I have been receiving them. I haven't answered all of them. I will do that tonight.
I hope one day I'm blessed with a birthday on Tech Plus.
It feels good. It feels good, actually.
Celebrating proper.
Yeah, but I stopped having birthdays at 21.
Oh, really?
That was the last time I had a birthday.
They just stopped coming around.
Yeah, now we just commemorate a year around the sun.
So, do you want to hear what Elon had to say about Donald Trump's ban on Twitter?
Yes.
And what he would do when he's CEO.
I know what he's going to do. Yeah.
Oh, no. So Elon Musk said on Tuesday that he would allow former President Donald Trump back on Twitter if the Tesla CEO follows through with his plan to buy the social media company. Trump was obviously permanently banned from the Twitter social media site 3 days after the January 6th attack on the Capitol. We all remember that. And the reason that ban happened was apparently because of the risk of further incitement of violence. In an exclusive interview with Financial Times at the Future of the Car conference on Tuesday, Musk was asked about Trump's potential return to Twitter. After answering with the commentary about when permanent ban should be applied, Musk said that he would reverse the permanent ban against Trump, adding, "I don't own Twitter yet, so this is not a thing that will definitely happen." But Musk also noted that Trump has since resorted to using the platform Truth Social, which was created by Trump Media and Technology Group following Musk's acquisition of Twitter. Trump said that he would still not consider going back to the platform, even if his account is reinstated. Instead, he told Fox News last month that the number of users on Truth Social is growing and that the platform is much better than being on Twitter. The bottom line is, no, I'm not going back to Twitter, he said.
So he's not going back?
No.
Even if Elon allows him to go back.
I know.
He's not interested anymore.
But I feel like...
he's gone all sour now, man. He won't return.
No way.
His ego is too bruised after that.
No, and I mean, what is... the first tweet he makes after being reinstated is kind of like admitting defeat. You know what I mean? It's like being okay with what happened. So
yeah.
I don't think he's going to go back on that. But very interesting that Elon... I mean, Elon's strategy is so clever. He really... it's like Trump. Trump loves being in the media.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like Elon plays towards always being in the media. Like saying something like that, you can't tell me you won't expect to get news coverage making a statement like that.
He's been in the media every day.
But let's say Trump is... the purchase for Twitter does go through. Donald Trump doesn't come back to Twitter. There has been some conspiracy theories that Jack Dorsey might return to the CEO position. Jack Dorsey was obviously originally the CEO of Twitter. And I think 2 years after Twitter started, the board forcefully removed him as CEO and said, you know, sorry, you know, sorry, not sorry, you're not CEO anymore. And then he was still allowed to be on the board. Two other CEOs came after him.
Mm.
And then he was reinstated as the CEO. Before later stepping down a few years later in 2021, he stepped down. And he says he will never return to Twitter as the CEO. Jack Dorsey is trying to squash the rumors that he'll be reinstated as the Twitter CEO once Elon Musk takes charge. On Wednesday, he tweeted, "Nah, I'll never be CEO again," in response to someone predicting that he would be returning to lead the company he co-founded, before going to say that he would never want the role. In another response, Dorsey says that no one ultimately should be Twitter's CEO, perhaps referring to Blue Sky, which is a project meant to turn Twitter into a decentralized protocol rather than a traditional social network. It's quite interesting, you know. One person wants the role, one person doesn't want the role. You know, it's interesting. Imagine the screen. I mean, you must be under quite a lot of pressure being, you know, the founder of Twitter and then pushed off your own CEO position. Yeah. To be later reinstated back into, I wouldn't want anything to do
thanks.
With that. You know, that's like 3 years of roller coaster.
Yeah, no
know?
Thanks.
No, thank you.
But you know what? There was a very sad goodbye this week, hey?
Really?
We said goodbye to the iPod.
Oh, yes. I heard about that.
Yeah, iPod. 2001 to 2022. Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
Yeah, very, very sad. What happened was, obviously, it was the company's last remaining portable media player. The iPod Touch will still be on sale on the Apple website, in stores, and also via authorized resellers, but only while supplies last. After that, you'll never see one again. It's going to be a vintage item like a CD player or a Walkman.
VHS.
Can't believe it. No new iPods will be made starting right now. So rest in peace, iPod. But I never had an iPod. Did you have one?
It was so funny. I had that iPod Shuffle. Remember that?
Yes, yes.
And it's funny because I had that when I was like 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. You know, I had an iPod Shuffle. And
rolling in high school with your tunes.
And I always wanted the touchscreen iPod. You know, it was always like something that I really, really wanted, but never actually ended up getting. And I thought it was quite funny because as I became an adult, I never really thought, you know what I need in my life? An iPod. But after doing a lot of running and stuff like that over the last year or two, it came to my attention that running with a phone in your pocket to get music isn't ideal. Mm. And I thought to myself, you know what I need? I need a device that isn't a cell phone that can play music only and has the music downloaded. And I was like, wait, that's an iPod. I should get myself an iPod. And I thought to myself, you know what I really need? I don't even need a device that has a big screen that's quite heavy. I would love a tiny, tiny device that can play music while I run. And then I was like, that's an iPod Shuffle. 1 week later, Apple announces they're discontinuing the product. So I thought, I'm behind on this one, you know.
But I thought I had an iPad, but it was never an iPad. It was a cheap ripoff that I got from Clix. It looked like an iPad.
A pad eye.
Yeah. And it had like 100 megabyte storage, so you could have like 10 songs on it.
A J-pad.
And then the buttons would stop pressing. I said, hey, I've got an iPod, but it was never an iPod. Rainier says on the WhatsApp line, Rainier is saying, let me just get the message back here. He said, I never had an iPod. I only had an iPad.
iPad?
I think it's a joke.
Yeah, I'm talking about things you paid for and aren't happy with. Tesla has recalled 130,000 vehicles.
What?
Right, to fix a touchscreen issue caused by an overheating CPU. Tesla really has overheating problems. Like when it catches on fire, you can't put it out. Their CPU's overheating.
Now, that's probably the cause of everything.
So Tesla's obviously recalling these 130,000 cars due to an issue causing the CPU in vehicles, the infotainment system, as they call it, to overheat during fast charging, potentially making the car's touchscreen malfunction or go completely blank. The electric car maker started rolling out an over-the-air update, which is just a traditional software update, on May 3rd to fix the issues on affected vehicles, which include the 2022 Model 3 and Y, as well as the 2021 and 2022 Model X and S. The problem is that during fast charging or preparation for fast charging, the infotainment central processing unit, or CPU, may not cool sufficiently to prevent higher than expected temperatures, which may cause the CPU to slow processing or restart. Slower processing or restarted processing could cause the center screen display to lag or appear blank. The recall doesn't explain exactly what caused the problem or how the software update will resolve it, but does appear to have something to do with how the vehicle preconditions the battery for supercharger use. And you can imagine, you know, you're supercharging a vehicle with thousands of joules of energy, you know what I mean? And that process of doing that creates heat. And that heat obviously wasn't considered in the CPU, especially when you're doing the extremist. You're not supercharging a 10 centimeter tall phone. You're supercharging a 2-ton vehicle. You know what I mean? And it's like a huge battery. And the cable that goes and plugs into your car is not comparable to a USB-C cable. It's more like a water pipe. You know what I mean? that water flows through. It's so thick. So that obviously creates a lot of heat, and that heat is having issues. But one thing that was brought to my attention is previously we covered some issues that some people found in their Tesla vehicles, like some of the rubber lining wasn't properly aligned right, and the door wasn't quite closing properly, and there's small defects that sort of sometimes occur on these vehicles with the mass production aspect of it. And really, when you're in a position like that, you have a choice. One, I can make a big fuss about it and send the car back and get a full refund, because you don't just send the car back, they adjust it and send it back to you. You send the car back and get your money back.
Yeah.
Then you have to buy the car again. There's a 6 to 12 month waiting list on buying a Tesla. Dear. So if you're found in a position where something isn't working properly or isn't up to scratch, the only alternative is get your money back, have to wait 6 to 12 months more and pay more because the price of a Tesla has gone up since you would have pre-ordered it a few years ago.
I would say, no, it's not worth it then.
But for me, I mean, if I got it now, obviously they're recalling the car. So this is like a yay moment for all the Tesla owners that had this issue that would have had to wait months and months and months to send their car back. And now obviously they get this freebie where their car gets taken back, repaired and sent back to them. I hope that's the case. But still, what a conundrum a person must have been in. You know, my infotainment system isn't working. It's going black. It's not responsive. It's slowing down. Is this a reason wouldn't for me to happy. Send my car back? I just wouldn't be happy with
it. I would tweet Elon straight away. but guess what?
What? DSTV. The sinking Titanic.
Shame. I feel sorry for them because right now they're in a bidding war. Did you know that?
Oh, no.
They're currently competing with Google, Amazon, and Walt Disney to get the broadcasting rights for the highly popular Indian Premier League game.
It's like the under 15 like primary school team going against like the All Blacks.
Yeah. Shame.
Bidding war.
But at least they're trying, eh?
No. Can you even call it a bidding war on DSTV's part? Like, do they run out of money in that war? You know, do they have like a maximum they're willing to spend in that bidding war? Interesting question. I wonder if it'll make them money.
Yeah, what have you got for us when we come back, Kane?
We're taking a look at Netflix potentially launching with some ads. Oof. For those who don't want to pay the subscription fee. And Disney Plus, it's a new subscriber count rising very quickly, competing with Netflix, probably alluding to why Netflix is going to be streaming with ads soon enough. We've got a Dischem data breach.
I saw that.
Yeah.
We're talking millions of people. Their stuff leaked.
Millions.
Yeah,
and
millions.
There's a lot of people that have a Dischem card or something like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Know so I mean? Now they've got they've got all your details and everything.
Exactly. And other thing we'll take a look at is Takealot has employed robot workers. With a collection time of 3 minutes for one of their Cape Town branches.
That's very nice. Oh, that's nice. Kane, I can't wait. Hopefully the next song's going to go quick. That's Charlie XCX with Beg For You. It is Tech Plus. If you just joined us, hello to you and welcome. We are discussing this week's biggest tech stories. My name's still Ian and he is still Kane.
Not very eventful last few minutes, eh?
What have you got for us next, Kane? I can't wait.
Disney Plus added almost 8 million new subscribers this year so far as Netflix is struggling. I think Disney Plus launches here on the 15th of May. So we're not even computating South Africa's potential. I'm saying potential. 60 million strong population.
Are you going to sign up?
Of course. Anything to get out of this Netflix dry spell.
It is a dry spell. Let's be very honest. You're so right. Netflix is definitely having a dry spell at the moment.
What a come up story it would be, though. I was thinking about it yesterday. I was like, maybe I should stop being annoyed that Netflix is drying out and try to just motivate them. You know, go onto Twitter and be like, you can do it. You know, stay positive.
Yeah, shame.
So Disney added 7.9 million new subscribers to its Disney Plus streaming service during the first 3 months of 2022. The company announced in its Q2 earnings report on Wednesday. That brings the total to around 87.6 million worldwide, excluding the 50.1 million people subscribed to Disney Plus Hotstar internationally in the US and Canada alone. Disney Plus now has 7.1 million more subscribers than it did a year ago, with 44.4 million. The company company also said that the number of subscribers for all its streaming offerings, including Hulu and ESPN Plus, had grown to over 205 million, an increase from the 196.4 million it reported in January. That's better news than Netflix had recently last month, obviously announcing that it had lost 200,000 subscribers compared to the previous quarter. So you got Disney Plus with 7.1 million new subscribers, and if you got Netflix with 200,000 lost subscribers. It's not a good comparison, but Netflix is very distributed across the world.
Yeah.
Whereas Disney Plus is opening new channels into locations that weren't previously available.
Okay, yeah.
So Netflix is like saturated the market, and Disney Plus is kind of coming in at just the right time for that fresh bit of content.
Yeah.
And that can obviously describe why there's such a difference in subscriber acquisition, because Netflix hasn't opened up to many new locations. That being said, it still means that Disney Plus has a massive opportunity to overthrow Netflix in its market share over the next few months, because it will continue to raise hype. It will continue to be the alternative to Netflix's dry spell. Netflix has to eradicate this dry spell as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Or you might find in the boardroom that they have accepted that they're going to have a dry spell, that the next X amount of time is not going to be, you can't fix it. You know, it's like one of those things where it takes 2 years to produce something. You can't do something in 2 months. You just can't. You can't even do something quickly in 2 months.
Yeah, and you can't rush it, because editing, people don't realize it. Once you film something, to put it together and edit it and make it as good as it is, it takes forever.
So there's this gap.
You can't rush it.
There's a gap opening up where Disney has an opportunity to overtake.
Yeah.
While Netflix almost has to do a pit stop.
Yeah, but Netflix is now, they're really reaching for it now. I mean, did you see they're putting on Barbie shows and all these Spanish shows just as fillers, you know? Just please stay with us.
I can't do it. I can't watch something I don't like.
You don't. You're not going to watch Barbie?
No, I might. You know what I mean? We don't know what tomorrow holds. So let's take a look at what this means for Netflix. So Netflix is under pressure. We've established that. So what are they doing about it? Well, now this is where Netflix could launch its streaming with ads even sooner than we expected. What's the best way to counteract losing subscribers? Put on a couple million free subscribers, right? People that are using a product for free, and make sure overall user database look bigger. And they're looking at investors, people who are considering, do I keep my shares in Netflix? Do I diversify into Disney Plus? Do I keep everything in Netflix? Do I keep everything in Disney Plus that I'm allocating to streaming service investments? The people that are. So they want to make those earning reports. You see these earning reports that are coming out, they're so important to the viability of your stock's health for the rest of the year if you're a publicly traded company. It has been less than a month since Netflix announced slowing revenue growth and its first subscriber drop in over a decade, and now the New York Times reports that it's accelerating the schedule on initiatives to turn those things around. Netflix was already openly talking about pushing people who share their account logins to pay more, and once the report came out, co-CEO Reed Hastings changed his tone on ad-supported streaming, say he would try to figure it out over the next year or two. According to the Times, a recent note to employees said executives are now aiming to introduce the ad tier at some point in the last 3 months of 2022, with a crackdown on password sharing starting in the same window. So Netflix charging more for password sharing and launching a subscription tier which has ads.
Nah, no thanks.
It is an interesting question. Me as an advertiser, I consider, would I advertise on Netflix? 100% yes. So,
yeah,
you know what I mean. And advertiser is very attractive. Regardless of what the end user is, as an advertiser, not looking as a viewer, as an advertiser, someone who wants to reach people, Netflix could be attractive to me, especially if they offer ad tools and things like that that are...
Yeah, you're right, you're right. But then I won't pay too much for that per month. It should basically be free.
The service that you're getting with the ads, it should be just like YouTube, completely free.
Yeah, but it won't be. There's still going to be a charge, I'm pretty sure.
If they charge me every month to watch ads, I will unsubscribe twice with my one account.
Oh, that's funny.
So, next up on the list, let's take a look at our Dis-Chem problem here. Dis-Chem had a data breach.
So how do I know I'm affected? Is there any way I can find out if my data was also leaked?
Well, the thing is 3.7 million client data records were compromised.
Could that be why I got a strange WhatsApp the other night from a scammer telling me I can get rich on Forex trading?
Probably
could
not
that be
that
related
quick.
To it?
Probably not that quick. You can best believe that data is being sold and we'll look at what type of data was breached
because
that will allude to how you could potentially be scammed.
Oh dear.
That data against you.
Okay, can't wait. Let's
So the JSE listed Dis-Chem Pharmacies has disclosed that a data incident involving a third-party service provider or operator has led to the compromise of millions of client records containing personal information. It is not named the third party, but said in a holding statement sent to Tech Central that the company in question had suffered a suspected cyber attack. It said no sensitive medical, financial, or banking information was contained in the database and that it immediately took necessary action and all possible steps have been taken to isolate the threat. Dis-Chem revealed that the incident in a notification published on its website in terms of Section 22 of the Protection of Personal Information Act. The incident affects those 3.7 million Dis-Chem customers with the following information compromised: first name and surname, email address, and cell phone number.
Oh, okay. So they can send you a WhatsApp.
Yeah. And essentially, what you can expect is a lot of phishing scams. If this data is utilized, it's going to be phishing scams. It's going to say, hey, you know, Mr. X, first name, last name. You have an account registered here at our bank with this email address, and this is your primary phone number. Please click this link and enter and log into your banking profile so that you can further secure your account. Something like that, whether it's banking or Dis-Chem related or Vodacom related or whatever the case is.
So we could potentially expect that if we are Dis-Chem customers.
Absolutely. Absolutely, you can. And you should be on the lookout for it anyway because, as I say, I think it was last week that I said it, there's a website that you can go to.
Yeah, what did you... You mentioned it last week. I can't remember it now. It was a strange name.
Yes, so the website is one word, haveibeenpwned.com, haveibeenpwned.com. Okay, haveibeenpwned.com.
I was pawned before, but it was a different pawn.
So you go onto the site, and all you have to do is enter in an email address, and it will check all the data breaches to see which of those data breaches your email address was in.
Okay, wow.
And of those data breaches, what other information was there. So it will tell you Netflix had a data breach, this was your email used, and your password was included in that data breach.
Sure.
So you know the password you use to log into Netflix needs to change. You can't use it anywhere else. That's what they will do to get breach your accounts. They'll go to other websites and hope that the same credentials get
but
them
let's
in.
Be honest, we a lot of us have the same password and login and email for a lot of accounts with the same password.
Exactly.
So they're going to try that and they'll eventually get into your stuff. I'm so glad you mentioned that now, Kane. And I'm actually going to visit the Have I Been Pawned website just after the show today.
So what I did now is I entered in my email address and it says, oh no, you have... you've been exposed in 3 data breaches, right? And these data breaches are as follows. One of them for me was CoinMama, a crypto exchange. One of them was Gravatar, which is like an icon platform. And another one was Mashable, right? And these are the sites that I had been registered to that had data breaches. And I never use the same password for one site. I have a password keeper and that's how I do everything.
Imagine you go on there now and you get this long list of all these things.
I did it for a friend of mine and was like, your data has been breached in 27 breaches. And I was like, my friend, you need to do some due diligence here and really check this out.
I'm so doing that after the show today.
Okay. And then here's the next thing, right? So... this is really, really cool. Takealot employs robot workers with collection times of minutes. So Takealot has created a fully automated experience for its shoppers that will collect their packages at the Richmond Park pickup point. A new pickup point in Richmond Park, Cape Town for Takealot will see robots assisting shoppers. These robots have an average collecting time of just 3 minutes, changing the game in a new way. This is what's quite cool. So I don't know if you've ever ordered something from Takealot where you had to go and collect it.
No.
You have to go to the warehouse, provide whatever information necessary. They go into the back, find your package, come bring it out to you. It can take 10 minutes, it can take 30 minutes, it can take an hour. Who knows?
You can only do that in a city.
You can only do it in a city.
If you live in the Garden Route, for example, where you get it to your door.
Yeah,
which is much better anyway.
It is much better, unless you live down the road. You know what I mean? Wait for 2 days to come around?
Yeah.
But in that event, what is the point of going to a collection facility if it takes you half an hour to an hour of sitting there stationary to collect your item? Yes, you might have that time, and that's not a problem, but some people don't.
Mm.
And to facilitate this problem, and also obviously to scale, they've developed a robotic solution whereby you can provide the required information. The robot then collects your parcel in an organized system, brings it out to you, and you can leave hands-free. No fuss, no hassle, no human interaction, as far as I understand it. And that is actually really, really cool. We spoke about ShopRite implementing AI-based...
Yeah, that was just last week.
...checkouts. Yeah. Now, Takealot implementing AI-based or robotic-based collection services and facilities. We really are evolving digitally quite quickly.
Mm.
And right here in South Africa, we're not talking about a California-based company doing this or, you know, a New York-based company doing that. We're talking about a South African company integrating really next-level technological updates to their end service. And I thought that was really cool to talk about and discuss.
Very interesting. What have you got for us when we come back?
When we come back, we're taking a look at the spotlights on Instagram. They're going to be testing out some NFTs this week. It's funny that they do that. 92% trade volume of NFTs down.
Ooh.
And now they're testing NFTs. Timing is absurd, but that's what they're going to be doing. Also, Apex Legends, the very popular PC game, launches its mobile version on the 17th of May. We're going to talk about that. And after that, we're going to take a look at Ford's giant Pretoria plant has moved partially off the grid, which is great news.
Okay, that's great. Talking about the grid, load shedding again, now we've had it this week, for most of this week, in the evenings, luckily just from 5 to 10 o'clock at night during the peak times, but they say it could increase if they have more breakdowns, but it's not looking good for winter. I saw a breakdown this week, a graph of what we can expect this winter, and if it carries on like this, we're going to have quite a dark and cold winter.
Well, when it comes to Eskom now, all I say is, you know, they say it could go wrong, but it will.
One day it will.
No, it will.
It's going to go crash, boom, bang, and then what?
And then we're back in the old days. Stage 6 load shedding.
I actually spoke to a friend this week, an overseas friend, and he just couldn't believe what is happening in our country. I told him, no, I've got load shedding now. He said, what is a load shedding? I said, no, it's, you know, we've got, we can't all have electricity at the same time, so we have to share it and on a rotational basis. And then he said, that is absurd. It sounds like the 1950s.
I
said,
know.
Yes, unfortunately, that's how it works here. But that brings me to my question. Yes, to. Sound like Parliament. That brings me to my next question. Do you think Eskom will be better off run by robots?
Well, maybe they would do the maintenance part a little bit more consistently.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's so cut and dry, to be honest. I think it's quite a complex problem. But we know this load shedding scenario. I mean, I was watching like a Jimmy Fallon type show, international show, obviously people in overseas hearing about South African load shedding, and they like, you know, every month do you have to pay for this electricity? We're like, you know, yeah, you pay service, like, based on how much you use it, you pay. It's like, okay, and you have to buy the electricity to use. And we're like, yes, you have to buy. And then they just turn it off whenever they want. They're like, what? That doesn't make sense.
They can't get it because it's so third world. They just can't understand it.
Cannot relate.
Anyway, here's Harry Styles as it was. Very nice. It's a former One Direction before they all went in their different directions. Harry Styles and as it was.
Now they're Four Directions.
Jeez, but anyway, just before we carry on with our very interesting Tech Plus, our WhatsApp line again, 081-060-1640. And a massive hello to Susan, who is once again on the road, Kane, and listening to us. Can we just all say hello to Susan?
Hey, Susan, welcome back to our Tech Plus. And while you're on the road, speaking of road and cars, Ford's Silverton Motor Vehicle Assembly Plant in Pretoria has greatly reduced its reliance on Eskom after switching on a giant solar installation that ensures it is now sourcing 35% of its electricity needs from the sun. The huge Pretoria plant produces the Ford Ranger Bucky for both domestic sales and exports to more than 100 global markets. The solar projects, the first phase of Ford's Project Blue Oval renewable energy program, is the result of a long-term power purchase agreement with Solar Africa, which installed solar PV carports for more than 3,600 vehicles at the Silverton plant. Solar Africa's large-scale solar array uses a total of 30,226 solar panels to generate 13.5 megawatts of emissions-free electricity for the Silverton plant, Ford said on Thursday. We use about 35,000 megawatts of electricity a day, I think,
yeah,
on a monthly basis. I'm not too sure which one that is. But 13.5 megawatts is a huge amount of generation, actually, for one place.
And just per day in South Africa, again.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely,
so,
yeah.
So 13.5 megawatts off of the 35,000 megawatt generation just shows you how vast our problem actually is. I mean, if 30,000 solar panels generate 13 megawatts of electricity, you know, to generate 30,000 megawatts of electricity, that's a computational hazard trying to calculate that. You're going to end up in the millions of solar panels.
Yeah.
So it really is a tough cookie to crack. But I think, as you said, you know, people have had enough of Eskom now, especially like a generation facility that is creating or producing vehicles. That stuff needs to run like clockwork.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be by the minute, by the hour, day by day, on track, hitting their milestones and their targets to ensure they meet demand that is existing there.
Yeah.
So it explains why they went that way. But it's only going to keep happening, which is also another interesting consideration. What do we need more? Do we need a secondary Eskom to generate additional power that we can be purchasing from? Do we need individual companies and corporations like this Ford power plant to create their own sustainable energy to take load off the grid, right? Because if enough load can be taken off of the grid, why do we need to load shed? If enough companies create their own power and enough households generate their own power, why do we need to load shed? So it is one or the other. Either secondary power generation or third-party power generation companies come into play that we can get electricity from, or we generate enough of our own electricity to a point where Eskom earns less and needs to provide less electricity, thereby solving
our
lower generation issues. So it might be a meet-in-the-middle scenario whereby, you know, third-party it's going to happen all at once. That's all I'm saying. You know, third-party power generation companies are going to come into play. People are going to subsidize their own electricity usage through their own means, and the power problem should dissipate from those kind of initiatives. But then again, money is the only way it will happen, and a lot of money goes a little way in terms of generating green energy, and that's biggest problem. Interesting, right?
Very, very.
So, you obviously know Instagram and you know NFTs. Did you know they're going to be testing on some NFT functionality? We saw Twitter come out with some NFT functionality, being able to upload an NFT as your profile picture. We've seen some games and some companies out there integrating NFTs into their core products. We spoke about Starbucks integrating NFTs for customer loyalty programs. And now we're taking a look at Instagram potentially trying to implement NFTs. And the problem for them really is they're a little bit late to the party. NFTs are kind of a smaller craze now than they were a few months ago. So let's take a look at what they're actually planning to do. So a group of non-fungible token or NFT creators and collectors will soon be able to display their tokens on Instagram. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg confirmed in a post today that the company is testing NFTs on the platform, with similar functionality coming soon to Facebook. Instagram head Adam Mosseri said in a video today that a small group of US users will have the ability to display NFTs on their feed, stories, and in messages. NFT details are displayed in a similar way to tag profiles, and products are named digital collectibles. Clicking on the tag will display details like the name of the creator and owner. And Mosseri said that the test is small to start so that Instagram can learn from the community, perhaps in an attempt to tackle distrust of a major social networking platform jumping into NFTs. He brings up a tension between large companies like Instagram and the decentralized ethos of Web3. And it is a very true point. You've got a decentralized product by nature and being implemented onto a very centralized system. People are going to be happy. People are going to be sad. There's going to be all sorts of emotions about it. But at the end of the day, we've seen Twitter come out with NFTs. That was cool. Instagram will now come out with NFTs. That could be very cool. But only time will tell what is the long-term application of this functionality. Will it truly be a phase like boomerang videos on Instagram?
Oh, yeah.
Or will it be a long-term function like stories on Instagram? You know what I mean? There's differences in that. How long will it last? And will there be any benefit to it other than being able to brag that I own a digital piece of art, which is the existing problem? NFTs are now moving into a more of a utility-driven scenario. So if you own an NFT, it gives you access to exclusive rewards or benefits, or works as an access key to exclusive products or services, or acts as a ticket pass to certain events and concerts and things like that. So that kind of utility within Instagram could be very cool. If you happen to have an Instagram profile picture, it could be used as a entry method or an access key to certain products or services or physical real world events. That would be cool. But only time will tell in terms of what exactly happens.
Kane, very interesting indeed. Thank you. Did you see that? Obviously, I know that you did, but I'm just asking for the show's purpose. did you see the new reactions on WhatsApp?
I did.
I tested it out on you for the first time, so obviously I know that you know, and you used it against me as well.
I think it's very cool. I wish they would have added more emojis.
Yeah, it's not enough, eh?
Yeah.
So what you do is, if you don't know about it yet, you hold your finger in on the text that you sent, or the person sent, actually, and then there should be a pop-up of all the emojis, and you can select one.
Make sure your app's updated.
Well. Yeah, you can change as well. If you're not seeing it right now, you are left behind, and you will need to update your app. And hopefully, if it's not there, then after the update, then I'm a bit concerned. Then I'm a bit worried for you. But it is quite nice. Have you used it personally, Kane, during this week?
No, but even because this functionality was present on Signal and Telegram
already.
Yeah.
And do you use it over there?
No. And that's probably why the reason I won't use it so much on WhatsApp.
It's not new to you then? Nothing new to you?
No, but I mean, the whole Meta company really likes this copying, pasting of cool stuff. Yeah. Stories started on Snapchat. You know what I mean? Anonymous messages that delete themselves started on Telegram.
Yeah, now called disappearing messages. Yeah.
Reaction messages started on Signal.
So it's been there all along.
Yeah. It's nothing new
to you because you've been on those platforms.
Yes, but it's still a very usable feature. It allows you to express a feeling towards something without having to say, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, but now you don't know if somebody's replying, because if they just react to what you sent, you're going to wait for the message, but you don't get a notification when they react to it. So you're going to be like, hey, why aren't you answering me? And then you open it and these, oh, the person actually responded.
Yes, so I think adding in I think that you should get a notification. If you didn't, they made a mistake on their part. But upon reacting to something, it's like an acknowledgement. So if I say, you know, hey mom, please bring water home, she sends a thumbs up reaction.
Or she laughs at it.
Or she laughs at it, like, no. But either way, you can still acknowledge the receipt of something outside of a double blue
tick. It should go ping when they respond to it, and I didn't hear any pings.
No, and that's probably an oversight, because that's just my important. Phone. Hopefully, but also, if you're in a group chat with 250 members and each person reacts to it,
no.
Can you imagine?
You're right. Good point.
Quickest way to run your phone out of battery.
Oof.
Or have it move by itself across the table.
From all the vibrations.
So my last story for today is regarding Apex Legends. So for those of you who don't know what Apex Legends is, Apex Legends is a very popular battle royale game that's played on console and computer. It's like Player Unknown Battlegrounds was like, or what Fortnite is like, but and its own style and its own theme of that kind of tool. And we saw with Call of Duty also came out with a battle royale. That's the type of game mode, 100 people against each other, one man survives at the end. And they came out with a mobile game called COD Mobile. It was very, very successful, and it's very, very cool actually when they came out with that, because it was the first time I've seen in real time a very competitive gameplay experience to console and computer. if you go so far as going back a year ago and saying, well, I don't have a computer, I don't have a console, can I game the same? It would be no. But today, when we see things like this and your phone is so powerful, the thing is, if you don't have a PC and you don't have a console, you can potentially still enjoy some good gaming experience.
Mm.
And that's where Warzone or Call of Duty took a leap, because they made it possible to be able to queue up or go into a game with someone that's on an Xbox, someone that's on a PS4, someone that's on a computer, and someone that's on a mobile. So by amalgamating all these different devices into one game experience, you're able to maximize how many players are there. And the most important thing about playing a game where you're playing with other people is that there has to be other people to play with. And by creating that type of functionality, you enable more players. So several years after we first heard that EA and Respawn Entertainment would bring their Battle Royale shooters to mobile platforms, there is a global release date for Apex Legends Mobile, which will launch for Android and iOS on May 17th. Beta testing for the game started over a year ago and has slowly expanded to include more players worldwide, but now it's limited regional launch period is over. If you're wondering what device it will run on, there is an FAQ on their website that you can go to see more information on that. EA isn't ready to share more details yet, but beta testers have been able to experience a game that looks fairly close to the experience players got on PC and consoles. In an earlier trailer provided by the regional launch, you can see how the game has changed for play on mobile platforms and some idea of the touch optimized controls that are available. The assorted legends, three player squad actions, and map players will recognize are making the transition to mobile, and of course it's still free to play. While the main game just launched season 13 on Tuesday with a new hero and other changes, the launch trailer for Apex Legends Mobile reveals it's starting its own run with season 1. The mobile version will also have some of its own features, including specific modes and social tie-ins. Live service games like Apex Legends are now a huge part of EA's business. In earnings reports this week, the company revealed that the category accounts for a massive portion of its revenue at over $5 billion over the last year. Now, that's a massive portion of revenue. A similar report from Activision Blizzard in February said that Call of Duty Mobile accounted for more than $1 billion in revenue for 2021 alone. So you can see why this launch is potentially so important. As part of the run-up to the game's release, the team is offering pre-registration awards based on how many people sign up, which users can unlock by putting their info down for the Android version or details, or other details for its iOS release. So there you go. If you wanna potentially get rewarded, and you know some friends that want to play Apex Legends on mobile, you can go start getting access to the game and invite some of your friends and be rewarded for it. But ultimately, enjoy playing AAA titles on your phone like it's a computer or an Xbox. I think that is the main thing to pay attention to here in this update. We are evolving technologically very quickly. If you went back 3 years and told someone that soon they will be able to play a game with a better gameplay experience, better graphics, everything off their computer and on their phone in 3 years, they would have told you are very crazy.
Yeah, I would.
And today it's possible.
If I played games, yeah.
Today it's possible.
Wow, anything is possible.
Anything's possible. I mean, I just the other day, one man developed a Spider-Man game and based on the PS4 console game. And playing that game on my phone that was developed by one person over like 6 months was better than my gameplay experience playing Spider-Man on a PS2 by leaps and bounds. Now, the PS2 came out in 2012. We're not even 10 years since then, and you can do more with a phone than you could do with a PS2 back then. That is crazy. It's uncomparable.
Crazy AF.
And that's where we're going. That's the tech evolution, everybody.
Everybody, yes, that's true. And Kane, also, you know, after the Diskem breach that we spoke about earlier, I see there's actually a study that was done saying that South Africans are at a high risk of having their personal details exploited by malicious actors, according to research from Surfshark.
Really, eh?
The study ranked South Africa 6th in the world when it comes to the nations most threatened by crime, cybercrime. But its numbers are relatively low compared to the UK and the US. But I think we are still very vulnerable to it, eh? And especially the older people, if somebody calls them and asks them to verify something and all that kind of stuff, they easily give in. You know those calls you get from Microsoft? Hello, can you... hello, can you just check something on your computer? Sorry, but that's how they usually sound when they call you. And then you're like, okay, I'll go and check quickly. And then they ask you. And then eventually they get you to install TeamViewer on your computer. And they take over your computer. Just give me the PIN. No.
There's actually some really good videos that you can find of YouTuber on YouTube of people that allow themselves to get put into a position where someone's trying to scam them like that. You have these Filipino and Indian kind of franchises and call centers that try and get you to try and help you activate a voucher, and then they steal the code or whatever. So what this guy does is he lets them try scam him.
My brother showed me.
Then goes backwards and hacks them.
That guy is so good, eh?
And fully he exposes
actually,
them.
He actually hacked into their computer while they were trying to hack.
Yeah. And he does crazy things, like he turns their webcam on. And you know, you're like a scammer and your webcam's on now. And you're like, oh no, you know, this is a big problem. So you're like, let me turn off my webcam. You're like, oh, I don't have any access to my computer anymore.
That was so good, eh?
You know,
that guy is so good. I was watching him again.
It is really good.
He has, because he's got this big screen behind him as well, but he has so much fun with these people, eh?
Yeah. No, you really can't trust anyone like that.
He
don't
must
trust
be
call
good,
centers.
No. But they always want something from you.
They do.
You know, if they ask you for your first pet's name and all that kind of stuff, as we also said last week when we said change your passwords, then you know something is up. It's not normal.
Yeah, and be on the lookout. I mean, you have to really just be at the ready at any time for someone to try and scam you like that. You get an email saying something's wrong or something's like this, call direct. Get the number from someone else, call direct. Mm. Get an SMS telling you you owe money for your account on behalf of XYZ. Don't pay it. Call direct, find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Don't call the number that it messaged you.
No.
Go onto Google, find their legitimate number. Go anywhere, ask a friend, go into your contact list. Just never respond to any request for information or money from anyone via SMS, text, email, WhatsApp, or anything unless you get double confirmation from the authoritative source that is supposedly being impersonated.
But the scam has got so good. I mean, the emails really look like the real thing. Even the links that you click on, it looks like the real thing.
It does.
But somewhere there's an extra S or an extra L that your eye doesn't immediately see.
Not even that. I mean, you can completely spoof it. I can make you think you just got an email from vodacom.co.za, and it will look like it and it will say vodacom.co.za.
Can you
ask
how?
And then when you inspect the signature of the email and do some due diligence, you can actually identify that this is not real.
Oh, okay, so
it can get so close there that without the ability to investigate that specific signature in the email, not your email signature like best regards this person, like signature as in data signature, domain,
that's right,
and incoming domain signature and all that sort of stuff, like the actual part that runs the network that gets that email to you and where that information came from, it has to come from their official server. They play with those data stats there in the background so that it looks real, it feels real.
And even the logo and everything.
Everything.
Even
everything.
The signature and everything. The actual email signature. But yeah, your average person obviously doesn't know how to look at the other signature that you're talking about.
Yeah, so, and it's not a quick two-button thing.
Exactly.
You know? You got to actually know the ways. So that's why you just don't trust any email about something
but
personal.
But I wouldn't want to scam you. I know it won't work.
Me and my friends have a lot of... Because we obviously work a lot. We've been working in crypto for years. And there's quite a lot of scammers out there.
I'm sure,
doing the craziest of strategies. And it's always fun to get a scammer come try and scam you. You know he's trying to scam you. Just kind of play around.
Have a bit of fun with him. Like the telemarketers.
Yeah, I think...
Keep them on the line for a bit.
I think we rode one guy for like 2 months. You know, he was just thinking he's really winning here. You know, and we just a big joke in the office.
You had the upper hand.
But it happens a lot. And you got to kind of accept and play safe. No matter what, especially in the money is becoming digital.
Mm-hmm.
If you thought it was easy to lose a 10 rand, can you imagine losing digitally 10 rand?
Ooh, yeah, you know? Exactly.
Not like, oh, I've lost it or misplaced it, but you can spend it so easily. If you don't have a 10 rand note, you can't spend 10 rand. If you have 100,000 rand digitally, it's easy to make those you to spend those things. You can think you're checking out for an e-commerce store. You get an email saying that your order wasn't successful because that e-commerce store just got data breached.
Oof.
Now you go and you pay again. Yeah, you got to be careful, man. You really do.
And that's a wrap for today's show. We're playing out with a song today by Maytoma called Heart So Big featuring Arizona. Kane, as always, thank you so much for popping in. And we'll see you next time. Same place.
Same time.
Same time, yeah.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. Thanks so much to all of our listeners listening in, and to all my friends that listen in every single week, and my family that listen in every single week. It's always good having you here. It's always good covering the tech news, and we'll see you next week for another Tech Plus.
Until next week.
Until next week.
Ciao, ciao. There's bye-bye from Aqua.
Bye, guys. You got a heart so big, so